97 FM 710 Keel. Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Economist Dr. Lauren Scott joining us. Dr. Scott, good morning.
Good morning. How y'all are, as they say in South Louisiana?
Hello.
Dr. Scott, you there?
There we go.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
And I'm not on the board today, so it's not my fault. Dr. Scott, thanks for... Ruben's on the board, but he's the pro. I'm not holding it again. I'm glad he's there. You're presenting a jobs report. Tell us, what can we look forward to?
Well, I think you can look forward to a good-looking 26 and 27. And if a couple of things happen, you're going to have an extraordinary 26 and 27. Right now, we're forecasting about 5,600 new jobs for the Shreveport metropolitan area over the next 2 years. You just got a lot of early sight. I'm actually driving around the port of Cato Bossier right now and seeing all the economic activity out here. You know, more than 1,000 jobs here at your port. And I would argue that one of the primary reasons that the Red River Waterway is kept navigable between here and the Mississippi River is because of all this economic activity at the port. So there's a lot of folks all along that river depend upon all this economic activity occurring here. But some of your basic companies are doing very well. The Cyber Research Center is continuing to grow, and they're at over 1,000 jobs now and have a project in the wings that could add another 750 jobs. We're really keeping our fingers crossed about that one. And then you've had some real surprises on the positive side. The Amazon Center, which when they first talked about it was going to be about a $200 million facility, turned out to be $1 billion, was going to hire, I think, 400, and I think they're up to 1,000.
They're up to 2,000, I'm told.
You're right. I'm driving in the car, so I'm sorry I missed that. You're exactly right. And the other was SLB out at the General Motors, the old General Motors facility, who is started out, I think, saying they're going to hire 400. I think they're up to 800 now. And there's about a third of the General Motors space still available out there. And I think be watching that, because I think there's a real good chance you're going to get something coming in there soon.
You mentioned in an interview with the Louisiana Radio Network that Shreveport, there are a lot of rumors about Shreveport possibly getting a data center. What do you know about that? What are we hearing, and what kind of timetable are we looking at?
I'm hearing probably the same thing you are. Everybody that's working, matter of fact, I was at a luncheon table with somebody from the Department of Economic Development, and somebody asked that question of her, and she just zipped her lips up. They are under very strict NDAs right now about talking about data centers, but everything I'm hearing indicates that if there's the next announcement may come up in your area here. So I'm kind of hoping, if not by year end, by the first quarter, we might hear something positive about that. And if you want to see what the impact of one of these is, just kind of look what's going on in Monroe right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That it's unbelievable. Data center that's coming in over there, which is about $10 billion, may go to $50 billion. Entergy is building two power plants right beside the two power plants. Mm-hmm. One estimate is that if it stays at this $10 billion level, it will increase electricity demand in Louisiana by 15%. They're humongous.
We're not talking about a data center to that size for Shreveport, are we?
You may not be. I mean, they come in all different sizes. I don't know if you'll get one that big, but for example, there is one going in down in St. Francisville that's more on the order. It's about a $10 billion one too, but I think it's generally smaller in terms of employment and that sort of thing. We're not expecting the same thing to happen in St. Francisville that's happening in Monroe right now. There's a hotel in Monroe that just got renovated. I think it's a 5-story hotel that is now leased up for 5 years already.
Wow.
There's a guy who owns a tire company. He said, I can't keep tires in my store. Mm. They're going like crazy. So Monroe is going to be kind of like a gold mining town during the gold rush days.
That's
for the next
exciting, too.
Years. Very exciting, because that's one of the poorest areas of our state. That Mississippi Delta is just desperately needing something like this. It hasn't had anything in a long time. Monroe actually has fewer people employed today than in 2002. So this is exactly what they needed to get kick-started again.
Economist Dr. Lauren Scott, you mentioned 5,600 jobs coming to our area. What sectors can we look for? What growth are we looking for? Where are those jobs going?
Well, they're going kind of all over. Right. One of the things we have kind of half, if this makes any sense, halfway built into our forecast is that where I'm sitting at the port right now, we have been looking at a project for probably 5-6 years now called Bahia Energy. This is a methanol plant that would be built out here. This is a $2 billion project. And they just upped their lease out here for the land they want to use. They will have to make a decision before the end of 2027 if they're going to get the tax credits that the federal government is offering them. So a project that we've been watching for a long time is going to have to make a decision in the next 24 months. And everything I'm hearing is that it is still going forward and it is going to happen. So we kind of built that into the project. There's a lot of construction projects that are underway. You did well in terms of road construction money out of the state. You did very well on that standpoint. But just in general, you have the port, you have the Cyber Research Center, you have BRF out there doing well. Again, the Amazon and the SBL or SLB, I'm having a senior moment here.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to see growth in all those. And when you get growth in those areas, through the multiplier effect, you're going to get growth in retail sales,
right,
and professional services and healthcare, et cetera.
Dr. Scott, your report also shows the whole state over the next 2 years is going to grow by 75,000 jobs. That's huge. What area is the big winner?
Well, the area that is, it depends. The biggest area that's going to win is along I-10 and below I-10. We have, if you look at the Lake Charles, the Baton Rouge, and the New Orleans metropolitan areas, we have almost $100 billion in projects under construction right now. We have another 120 that have announced but have not issued a final investment decision. They have not pulled the trigger. And I believe that many of them, which are in the same position Bahia is, if you like, are going to pull the trigger. So there's just going to be an amazing increase in construction activity along the Mississippi River and the Calcasieu Chip Channel. So those are really big growth areas for us. And I mentioned Monroe. We expect to have very good growth because of the Meta Center coming in there. The one area of the state that, well, there's got really kind of two areas of the state we're a bit worried about. One is the oil patch, the Lafayette and the Houma area. And the reason for that is, the price of oil has dropped from about 80 to 60, the low 60s now. And the rig count in the Gulf, which in just as early as 2014 was 60, is now down to 10. The Biden administration really set back activity in the Gulf a lot. And now the president, Trump, has done some really amazing things to help get it restarted again. Problem is the price, and that's going to be a real issue for Lafayette right now and for Houma as well. We're looking at Alexandria, which is where I was speaking yesterday. They're also kind of plugging along, but they have something similar to your Bahia. They have something called Beaver Lake, which is about a $2 billion project. And there's a lot of data center people that are talking to them about coming into their area. So they could really kickstart and do very well going forward. Now, I should mention here that another thing you should watch for, where we're up here in the northwestern part of the state, is I think you're going to see a resurgence in the Haynesville Shale. I think we're seeing,
really?
We're predicting the price of natural gas going to go up into the $4 range because of all this demand being created by the chemical firms and the LNG export facilities coming in down on the coast. Haynesville Shale is the closest natural gas play. to these facilities down there, much closer than the Permian Basin, for example. And so I think you're going to see a nice bump coming along the rig count in the Haynesville Shale.
Dr. Scott, real quick, when you look at all of this economic news, so exciting, what do you attribute this kind of booming success to?
Well, the primary reason, one of the biggest drivers, is the fact that the price of natural gas in the United States is around $3.30. But the price of natural gas in Asia and Europe is closer to $12 per million BTU. So if you are BASF, for example, you're a chemical firm, BASF, and you want to make ammonia fertilizer, ammonia fertilizer is made out of natural gas. Natural gas is the feedstock. And you got a choice. Do I build this plant in Europe where I'm having to pay $12 per million BTU, or do I build it in Ascension Parish and pay $3 per million BTU? Mm-hmm. That's an easy answer, isn't it? You're going to build here. And so what is happening all over the world is that companies are chasing these cheap molecules, and these are humongous. I mentioned how big the billions in expansions, and the two places they are coming to is Louisiana, the South Louisiana, and South Texas, because you got a mass of pipelines down there bringing it the easy access to natural gas. You got the Calcasieu Ship Channel and the Mississippi River, where deep draft ships can haul their stuff out to the rest of the world through the Gulf. And so those two places are just booming right now because of this one little price differential that exists out there. It's probably going to stay existing for quite some time. So that's one of the biggest booms causes behind ours right now.
Dr. Scott, let me ask you one more thing before we let you go. The government shutdown. The president is threatening to lay off thousands, tens of thousands of federal workers. We have federal workers in Louisiana. How concerned are you about that?
I'm not real concerned about that, because I know this is hard to believe, but since 1976, the government shut down 20 times, believe it or not. On the average, it's been shut down for 8 days. The longest was 34 days. That was during Trump's first administration. So we've been through this before. If you kind of look at the stock market is not reacting in a big negative way. As a matter of fact, exactly the opposite of that. And I think in your particular case here in the Shreveport-Bossier area, the first thing you think about is Barksdale. But I think one of the things you find happening during these shutdowns is they take care of the military just like they take care of Social Security checks. So I'm not too worried about us. If I was in Virginia, if I was in the District of Columbia, I would be way more worried. I'm not too worried about Louisiana. By the way, Will Rogers had this great comment one time. He said, "We are lucky we don't get all the government that we pay for."
That's interesting, yeah.
So when you start worrying about the government shutting down, maybe you should think, maybe this is a blessing.
Yeah, you got a point.
Rush used to say, shut it down. They can't do any damage if they're not there.
Absolutely. Dr. Lauren Scott, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, a lot of fun talking with you folks again.
Thank you so much. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarthy.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Pastor Denny Duron going to be joining us in studio talking about the fire at Shreveport Country Club right after the news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarthy.
Back with more of Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Pastor Denny Duron in studio, Mike and McCarthy, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. First of all, we need to talk about, obviously, the fire over the weekend, Shreveport Country Club. Now, you're the owner. A lot of people might not even realize you purchased that property.
Actually, the property was given to me.
Okay.
There was an LLC that had the property, a group of guys that had been long associated with the country club. And they put together a plan where it was going to be better for them financially to give it than to sell it for what it was appraised for.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave my 501c3, and I don't really own it. It's my 501c3, my ministry organization. We have had a ministry organization that has been separate from the church since 1970. I actually have had this organization. And so much of what we've done in the city, including Eagle Creek Recovery Center and Evangel Christian Academy, are under Winter Circle International. And so that property was given to me. And from the moment I got it, I was looking forward to the day when perhaps I could sell it and it would help us with the financial burden of a lot of things that we're doing that are really nonprofit in the strictest sense.
Mm-hmm.
They make no money. And so that's, you know, that's the story of Shreveport Country Club. And it's so sad
to bring it back to life, right? I mean, when you got it, you were going to make it, keep memberships. And
well, it was already a great place. They had done a good job. The LLC that owned this had done a fabulous job of keeping it alive. And so I was trying to maintain it. We borrowed money and invested a lot of money, you know, mm-hmm. well over $1 million into it throughout about 9 years that we operated it, New Greens, that kind of thing that we did while we were there. Yeah. But I felt like it was my mission to open it to the whole community,
mm-hmm.
to make this a club of the neighborhood, and where people on this side of town could all join, could all come and eat on Sunday, could be a part. And looking back, if I have any satisfaction in what has happened with the club, it's that. We accomplished that for those years, and it became a place where the culture and the community of the Shreveport Country Club became different, but just as vital and just as wonderful in a different way.
Got to take a quick break, then we're going to talk about the fire when we come back.
Okay.
Cool.
Great. Right. Pastor Denny Duran in studio, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Pastor Denny Duran in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Pastor, your organization owned the Shreveport Country Club, which burned over the weekend. Let's address what these keyboard warriors are saying. Well, it was the insurance money.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and what do you say to those?
There was no insurance.
Okay.
Well, that's there you go.
This is what you call a total loss, folks.
I hate that for you.
Well, you know, it's sad. I'm happy that nobody was hurt, and I'm happy that nobody's property was damaged. We carried liability, but nothing to cover the building or the contents of the building.
So we know Shreveport Fire Department is
And the
is
reason
working.
We didn't is because you couldn't get it. I mean, you could not, they would not insure and won't insure a building like that. So.
You've had a problem with vagrants. You and I spoke on the phone. Yeah. This has been an ongoing problem since you shut it down in, 2016?
Right, right. And we have regularly called the police, who've done a great job, man. Those guys... I can't say enough about the Shreveport Police Department, but they would go out and we arrested a guy. They arrested a guy recently who was stealing copper wire out of the club. But they broke windows, whoever they are, broke windows. And so when we found that had happened, then about 3 weeks ago, we put up plyboard in the back and... you know, I have no idea how the fire started, but the Shreveport Fire Department is on it, and they are very, very good. So
cameras, security system?
No cameras, no security system. You know, private property and keep out signs and mm-hmm. all of that. But we have a neighbor who said that he saw young men on four-wheelers just before, you know, the fire broke out.
Mm.
And so I'm sure he'll share that with the investigators as well. But it's just a sad deal, you know. I mean,
Now, I had heard reports about natural gas drilling or wells on the property? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think that, it's a foregone conclusion that there are going to be more wells drilled, in that area. Right down the street from the club, across from my house, in fact, on the lake, they have one, and then you come up a little further, and they have another. And so, it's that drill, baby, drill.
Are you leasing it to the oil companies? Are you leasing
I haven't signed anything at this point. I sure hope I can. I do, because my organization, is behind. We're behind hundreds of thousands of dollars on just on that property, and I'd love to be able to pay the people back I owe, and also do some things for the nonprofit ventures that we have in the city, because mm-hmm. we are not making money on anything we're doing. It's all investment in people's lives, which is the way I want it. But it's so great when you get a windfall at times and something or somebody comes forward and says, we're going to help you with this.
The rehabilitation center that you operate, fantastic.
And we are right now desperate need of money to be able to just bring renewal and refreshing to that ministry. And mm-hmm. we're not going to let it go, because it has been too vital. Over 1,000 men conservatively have come through that rehab center.
So, Pastor Denny Duron, let me ask you this with regard to the Shreveport Country Club fire. What now? There's a lot of vacant buildings, businesses, houses across the city that burn, and they're just left to sit.
Yeah.
Can you pledge today that you're going to clean that property up and get all that debris removed?
Well, I can tell you we're certainly not going to leave it like it is. And, it may take us a while, and people are going to have to be patient. Like I said, we're not a moneyed organization, but, we are definitely going to make sure that, that's not a burned-out shell that's just an eyesore there for those people that are in that neighborhood. I care very much for the people of that neighborhood, and even when we were on the verge of actually selling the property, we were selling it to a treatment center that was going to keep everything neat and tidy. I found myself at a loss because I wasn't able to really communicate to the residents, though I tried, that, this was the best step forward because of I knew who these people were, and the country club was going to be just taken care of and in the same kind of manner that it had been, because these were people that had money. And, it was voted down in city council, and I hated that day. Now, let me tell you, it was close. It was like by a vote, and there were some people that really stood with us and felt like that would have been the best thing to do. But we haven't had an opportunity since then to really sell this place and to get into the hands of some people that are going to do good things.
There was some talk about a mixed-use development. That fell through?
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's still on the back burner. I just talked to representatives from their group recently. And so there are a couple of groups that are talking about coming in and doing something that I feel would be a credit to that community. But, the residents are going to have to sign off on it because they have beautiful homes there. And they're going to have to sign off on, whatever's done.
So, now, what kind of condition is the golf course in now? It hasn't been maintained?
No. Nothing's been maintained. It's Jurassic Park.
Okay.
I mean, there's every kind of plant.
Well, it's been since 2016.
Yeah. So. And all the fertilizer that was poured on there for so many years, every single week, you can imagine how fertile that ground was. And it's just, it's all grown up.
Sure.
But I've had no less than four individuals, talk to me briefly about coming and doing another golf course there. So I don't know what is going to happen there. I just pray that very, very soon somebody steps forward and says that they're going to bring a renewal to that area.
Real quick before we let you go, the history of that building. So many of us have been to weddings and events
My own children. Yeah. Their wedding celebrations were there. And here's the cool thing, is that when I had it, there were people in that neighborhood who had wedding celebrations there, who were able to have weddings there. They, you know, there were a lot of ceremonies that were performed there during that time. I mean, it has been throughout the years a grand and a glorious place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very sad when I, you know, watched on my phone what was happening in real time there. It's a very, very sad.
You were out of town. For
yes.
folks to say, why didn't you show up? You were out of town.
I was in Missouri.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would have been right there. Everybody that was close to me in my organization was there.
Right.
On the property. And, you know, they were, of course, sending me the shots. And just a sad, sad thing.
Mm. Well, thank you for coming in and telling us everything.
And my absolute joy to be here. You guys do such a great job. I have a little app on my phone, so when I'm out of town, I can still listen to you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Denny Duron. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
Friday night, I think I told y'all, we went. My son came into town,
mm-hmm.
and we went and saw Billy Bob Thornton.
So how was that?
At the Margaritaville. Actually, Aaron, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. My son, who is almost 40, was the youngest person in the room.
Wow!
By at least 20 years.
Oh my!
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy crowd, but it was full.
Was it packed?
It was full.
They've got a following, for sure.
Yeah, they've been around 20 years.
Yeah, they've got a
the
pretty
box
big following.
Masters.
Box Masters.
Now, it was fun. Billy Bob cannot sing. I'm
sorry. He can't?
No.
Were you expecting him to be able to sing?
I you know what? I had no expectations. Honestly, so I wasn't disappointed.
Right.
I just said, we're just going to have fun, and we did.
Yeah.
And he had a great time.
Mm.
The crowd loved him. It was just really fun.
Mm. And you went the Rebel this weekend, too?
We went and walked. We were going to go eat beforehand.
Okay.
So we walked. We parked. We got there about, I don't know, 6:30 or something. So we can go eat. The show was at 8.
Okay.
So we walked down the boardwalk. Aaron.
Ghost.
Saltgrass is the only thing that I saw that was open. And maybe like a nail place and some kind of, I think the chocolate crocodile is still there.
Mm.
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's a struggle.
Heartbreaking.
That's a struggle.
And of course, the theater is still going.
Mm-hmm.
But just storefront after storefront after storefront.
I
just
need to find an answer for that. Definitely.
Just boarded up.
That's sad.
It really is.
Terrible.
Casey's like, well, did the apocalypse come through here?
Yeah.
And I was like, apparently so.
Man.
But we had fun. Yeah. We had fun.
Definitely.
Steven Jackson talked with us on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hear what he's got to say coming up right after the local news, 101 on this blight fee that the mayor is proposing.
Yeah.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty. State Representative Steven Jackson joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mayor Tom Arsenault proposing a 2% fee on our water bills. Let me read something. Here's an incredibly moronic idea. Make us pay extra for others' willful neglect instead of using it to actually upgrade the water system.
Hmm.
Once torn down, I'm sure the surcharge will never roll off the bills. Steven Jackson, tell us how you really feel.
I mean, I didn't know before I posted that. I didn't know that was somebody was owning that idea. I just kind of saw it as, you know, how you see the post. I didn't see a link. I didn't know, and I usually try not to veer off into local business directly, you know. I try not to do that. So with all due respect to the mayor and the council, I didn't didn't know. I thought this was more just a concept. I didn't know somebody actual proposal, but I don't agree with it. I will tell you that. And I know the state of Louisiana, we have all of our challenges, and so we have to deal with issues at the state level. But, you know, I represent Shreveport residents as well, and I can tell you that I think this is going to be a challenge for them. And I hope that there's some level of consideration given to that. I just don't know that it's fair.
My first thought, Stephen, was, why should I pay for your irresponsibility? That was what I thought. I mean, I'm concerned by that.
Right. Well, I agree. That's kind of where I'm going. Is I don't think that people who are doing the right thing should be responsible for bailing out the folks who have blatantly and willfully neglected their property. What would stop somebody else, you know, from just saying, well, you know, I'm just going to walk away from my responsibility. The city got this tax, or they got this fee, or they got this surcharge. Then I can buy.
You know, I don't have to fool with this anymore.
I don't have to deal with this anymore. And so it becomes, you basically are setting up and you're incentivizing people to do the wrong thing. I think the city should, one, enforce the laws that we put on the books, which because we still haven't seen anybody be held responsible for the money that was stole from these other apartment complexes. If you look at what New Orleans is doing, New Orleans, they brought forth racketeering charges on real estate developers. And once you bring forth those racketeering charges, then you could go in, you could seize those properties, you could foreclose, you could do all kinds of things and sell those properties at that point.
But the mayor says that getting the demolishment money back from these people, you sit behind the mortgage company. So you're never going to get the money because the property's not going to be worth what the mortgage is out there on. That's a concern, I guess.
I agree. And that was something that I had to fight during my House Bill 6. But the city didn't come to the table to help me push that issue. They sat back and was passive on the Bank Association, the State Bank Association. I had to strip that out of my bill. So if you go back and look at the original version that was filed in House Bill 6, I had a provision that would have allowed the city to go in and recoup that money.
And be first in line? Would the city be first in line?
The Bank Association was concerned that my provision would have allowed the city's lien to go in front of theirs. And so, you know, when we were debating in session, the city, they submitted green cards, but nobody came to the table and willfully and pushed and really dug in and leaned in on my proposal. They submitted the green card and just kind of stayed out of the way of it. They were getting on TV saying, but we don't know that that's going to work. We don't know that that's going to be effective. But it was in the bill. If you go look at the original file version of House Bill 6, there was revision in there that would have allowed for that.
The mayor's another Stephen Jackson, state rep, another argument from the mayor is that we have a pile of money for demolitions, for like burned out houses and those kinds of things. And if we take that pile of money and use it on these apartment complexes, it's going to deplete that pile of money fast because the apartment complex demos will cost a lot of money. And so we need a different source of funding to take care of the apartments. Reserve fund, other options. Do you have any suggestions?
I mean, my style of public to sit back and say no to something. It's easy to just say no. Why not put a surcharge on adjudicated property sales or put a transfer fee on adjudicated property sales? That's something that people who are trying to do, you can put that there. I would not be putting this surcharge on every single water bill. I don't even know that you could do that. Water is an enterprise fund. I think you have to use water funds for water problems. This is not a water bill problem. It's not a water system problem. This is a demolition. This is a property standards problem at this point. And so I don't even know, can that even happen the way water enterprises,
interesting,
enterprise funds are set up? And so I hadn't seen the proposal, full transparency. I hadn't seen the proposal. Didn't even know that this was the mayor's proposal. Be interested in hearing more about it. But I just don't think that this is a good idea right now. I live by myself. And what about that person, that senior who lives by his or herself? They're on fixed incomes. They're doing the right thing. They're paying the bill, but they're going to go pay for the neglect, willful neglect, of property owners who just decide to walk away from their properties. Is that fair to the person who's doing right? Some will say, hey, indirectly we're paying for it. Indirectly. Every time the fire department has to go out there, we're paying for it. Right. That's more of an indirect cost. To put a direct surcharge on the water bill, that's really hitting people in their pocket.
Stephen Jackson, I let me ask you a political question then. We're heading into an election year for these municipal government elections. Do you see city council members who are up for re-election passing such a measure?
Look, if I was a campaign consultant and I was advising a candidate, I think this is something that could be, this could be something that could become an issue. You know, people will feel this. They'll see this every month. And I don't know who advises the mayor. I'd be concerned, you know, like, did you really think this through? Because people are not really feeling, people are upset about their water system. People are upset about the smell and odor and taste of the water. If you were telling people, I think if you told people that this surcharge is going to fix that, they may be more amenable to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know what the ins and outs of the conversations were. But I just don't know that I would advise a political candidate to be in front of this.
Interesting.
But who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, and we'll find out.
You bet. We'll stay in touch.
Stephen Jackson.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be fine. I'll be tracking it to see. And I'm definitely going to try to figure out, can water surcharges or water fees be used for non-water projects?
That's an interesting point.
Very good point. Definitely.
Let us know what you find out.
Thank you, sir.
Glad
Thank
we connected.
You.
Sorry about the confusion.
Take care.
It's all good. Thank you. Have a great
day. State Rep. Stephen Jackson, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
I told you we went to go see Billy Bob Thornton Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up going to the Revel Saturday.
Oh, cool.
We went twice.
Did you really?
Yeah, we went down in the morning on Saturday. There was a couple of things that Dina wanted to see, and we walked around and looked at the art and then came back on Saturday night and walked around, listened to some of the bands and stuff.
Big crowds?
So
big crowds?
Fun. Yeah.
Good.
Ran into Logan. He said he was very, Logan Lewis. He's the director there at the Revel. He was very happy. I saw Gregory Kallenberg and his lovely wife.
Nice.
And I think Gregory's going to be in later this morning.
Yes.
Prize Fest is coming up.
God, I can't believe it.
Another huge weekend for
Shreveport. Yes.
Huge.
Big time.
Because it's more than just a film prize.
Mm-hmm.
Food
prize and music prize.
Music,
all of,
yes. Can't wait.
So much is going on. That's going to be a great, great, great weekend.
Yeah,
for
we'll
our
get
area.
all the details here in about an hour, I think.
So what'd you eat at the Revel?
Aaron, there's a booth. It's down toward the end that had ribs and sausage and chicken.
Oh, man.
I got the combo plate.
Ooh.
Dina and I both shared it. And we were...
Delish.
It was good.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, it was good. And then she goes... she looks at me with a serious look on her face and said... If I bought a funnel cake, would you eat half of it?
I said,
look, are you kidding? Of course.
All her 112-pound self.
I know, yeah, not even that, probably.
Right. That's
amazing. And she ended up getting, they have a small one.
Okay.
They have a smaller version. And she laughed. She goes, the lady goes, well, we call it smaller. It's the same amount of dough. It's just thicker. It's taller.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
It's the same amount of batter. It's just not as spread out. But it was so much fun.
So you got your funnel cake fix in, too.
I know. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm sitting back watching the State Fair. People are moving in.
Yes.
That's coming, too.
Yes.
I mean, we've got so much going on and all over town. And our friend Grace Ann Blake, Stephen Jackson, who you just heard from, the mayor, Victor Thomas, they all went over the edge Friday.
Oh, that's right. Over the Fairmont.
Yeah, for Shreveport Common and the Fuller Center to raise money, and it was cool watching those videos. I'm like, y'all got more spunk than me. That's too scary for me.
I wanted to look into that.
It was cool. It really was cool.
And Opossum, you guys played over the weekend?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and he has a new baby. Go?
That was a wild, wild show. So I'm in the middle of a song.
That's right.
It was the sausage party. It was Aubrey and the Meats West, us, Opossum, Where Art Thou, and Sauce. And I'm in the middle of a song, and this girl walks up to the front of the stage, and she's holding a live possum.
Poor. She didn't like catch it outside or something.
I hope not. But no, it was very soft. Like it was very clean. And after the song was done, she handed it to me. There's lots of pictures.
Opossum, where are them?
I held it up like Simba from The Lion King.
Yeah.
It looks like you're doing a butt exam. I'm just going to say.
I know. There was a bad angle picture.
Yeah. So you actually
that could have been one of those
possum.
Embarrassing moments if it would have let loose right at that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but yeah, Opossum, Where Art Thou? That question was answered on Saturday.
There it is.
You found it. I'm glad y'all had fun. You had a good turnout.
Oh, it was a fantastic turnout. It was best show of the year, easy.
Oh, that's cool.
How fun.
A beautiful weekend. It was gorgeous. I watched a ton of football, and I don't know how LSU moves up in the polls without playing, but that happened.
We didn't lose,
and the Saints got their first win, so... All
did you
good.
Watch any of that?
I did.
I did too.
I did. I was did very too. Excited. It was. They looked a lot sharper now. Taysom Hill's back.
Right.
That's a big game changer for the Saints. So he's been out.
Raheed Shaheed.
Yes.
Oh, whoa! What a play!
Ooh, no kidding. No kidding.
I'm still not convinced Rattler is the one to get us there.
Yeah.
No,
definitely.
We're against
not.
The news.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they certainly definitely
big win.
Definitely looked better. Price Fest. We are going to find out all the details coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Cave people? Cave people?
Yeah.
Is that what it, citizens against virtually everything?
Mm-hmm. I put a post at keelnews.com on Friday. It really was an update for an earlier post that I had done about restaurants in Shreveport that have closed this year.
Okay, right.
And because I'd heard of some other ones that had closed, including the Monjunis in Benton and some others. And so people were questioning, well, you don't have these on the list. These have closed and you don't have the... So I was updating the list. Well, now people are bashing. Why do you put this bad news? Why don't you put news about restaurants that do open? Folks.
We do.
Yeah. Every new restaurant that opens, we
or
do a post.
Is going to open.
We do a post. We're looking for those things. We're looking for new businesses every day. So if you see a new restaurant that's opening, send us the info. We're always looking for it. I mean, these people, they just get on these keyboards and they just... Please, meet me in the grocery store and talk to me about it. You know what I mean? They just don't know what they're talking about.
No.
And then these people for this Shreveport Country Club fire, I saw all weekend, bet it's for insurance. Well, Denny Duron sat in our studio this morning. He didn't have insurance.
He didn't have it. All he had was liability.
That's it.
Right.
Couldn't get it on the property.
Right.
Only liability for if anybody else got hurt. So it's not an insurance claim. Just, they drive me crazy. So X that off your Facebook if you're thinking that the fire was insurance related. It's not.
It was not.
There's no insurance.
And we'll replay that in about an hour.
Yes.
If you want to hear if you missed that from early this morning, because he, bless his heart, he hits the ground running. He was at 6 o'clock praying with a child.
Went into a local hospital to pray with a child.
Yes.
And then came here. So
and then had another 7 o'clock that he had to get to.
He had to get to. So yeah.
Wow.
He stays on the go. That's for sure. Amazing. When we come back, teacher pay. Some of these numbers were really shocking.
Yeah, and the ones that were most surprising to me were on the other end
than
what you were saying.
You
so
bet.
We'll talk about that after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Be sure to download that free Kiel app. Take us with you wherever you go.
back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
Now, this is on the website, too, right?
Yes, it is.
Is teacher pay, latest data on teacher pay in the state of Louisiana. And you got it broken down by parish.
Yes, every parish, what every parish makes. So you can see who are the highest paid and who are the lowest paid. The average salary in Louisiana right now is $56,370. That's according to the National Education Association. The national average is $72,000. So we're about $16,000 below the national average. The lowest paid teachers in Louisiana, this stunned me. East Carroll Parish, $34,900. Tensaw, $35,600. East Feliciana is at $40,000. They're the lowest three on the list. The highest... This is amazing to me.
See, this blew my mind.
Red River Parish is number one in the state. The pay for Red River Parish teachers, and I'm told it's because of the Haynesville Shale, $78,000 for teachers in Red River Parish. Number one. Second is $12,000 less. The city of Monroe, they have their own school district. They pay $66,000. St. Charles Parish is $65,000.
So, and look at Natchitoches
up there. Absolutely. Caddo and Bossier are high on the list, too. You have to scroll down through here. But we're way up there on the list. We're in the top 10, both Caddo and Bossier parishes. So that's definitely a good thing for our area because our teachers are some of the highest paid. I'm trying to. I think we're over. Hang on a minute. It takes me a minute to scroll through this.
Yeah, because you got a lot of parishes up there.
There are 64 parishes. And then they have some like the Monroe that are separate. They have their own separate deal. So it's a lot of people. But the problem with some of this, though, is some of the data from the state is not as up-to-date as the National Education Association. DeSoto Parish is 12th in the state, 61,000. Bienville, 61,000. Webster Parish, 62,000. Bossier's ranked number 7, $63,000. Caddo Parish ranked 6, $63,200. So we're in the top. Bossier 7 and Caddo is 6. So not bad, but not close to that 78 if you want to teach in Coushatta. I bet you it's hard to get a job there, though. I bet with that pay that high.
Well, yeah.
That they get the best and brightest.
Sure.
I bet they get the cream of the crop, no doubt. But that's exciting to see that we're still below the Southern Regional Average. We still have a ways to go. I think we're 47th in the country. Louisiana is overall.
Where did I just hear that the Haynesville Shale activity is picking back up again, though?
Dr. Lauren Scott, Friday.
Yes, Dr. Scott. Thank you.
He said that could be picking back up, and that'll help DeSoto Parish, because when DeSoto Parish was getting a lot of that Haynesville Shale money, they were near the top of the list for teacher pay as well. They were close to in the top 5, I think. So, you know, we're making headway. The problem is that the last couple of years, it's been a one-time stipend.
Right.
And so it's not been a pay raise, if you will. Mm-hmm. If they could have put that $2,000 as a pay raise, it would bump Louisiana way up, but they can't list it as a pay raise because that's not what it is. So anyway, teachers are probably asleep. It's fall break week this week, by the way, for Caddo schools.
Did not know that.
Yep.
Why aren't we out?
I don't know why. We get a fall break. They can't explain it to me to make it make sense, but we get a whole week off for fall break. In about a month, we get another week for Thanksgiving.
They start school in October, August.
I know.
The 1st of August.
Yeah, closer to the first couple of weeks, yeah.
Stop these stupid breaks and start it Labor Day.
I know.
Like you're supposed to.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
If I were emperor of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming up, Prize Fest information, the huge, huge weekend for Shreveport-Bossier. We'll have all the details after 8 o'clock, 1017 FM, 710 Kiel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
got to be honest with you. All this going on, and I know we're going to talk about Louis Avalone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leading up to that. All of this going on, these cities like Portland and Chicago fighting the administration. Aaron, in this mayor's race in New York City,
mm-hmm.
I'm to the point, I hope they do elect Mamdani. Elect that social, that communist. And then Trump wants to send National Guard into Portland, and they're fighting him.
Yep.
Okay, you know what? You can have it. Turn it over. Let them have it. Mm-hmm. Turn them over to their sin.
Oh, yeah.
Let them wallow in their depravity.
My problem with it is, and Louis R. Avalone is going to be part of a town hall discussion in Lower Manhattan
mm-hmm.
tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow
and Stephen
evening.
Parr are mm-hmm. going up there.
6 to 8 p.m., you can watch the live stream, and they're going to be talking about the mayor's race. And the problem, Mike, and your point is really valid, but the problem with that is that often those politics that happen in places like New York and Portland, they spread across the country throughout the Democratic Party, and then they inch their way into other places like New Orleans, like Baton Rouge.
But it's already happened, Aaron.
And it makes it worse. It gets it even worse. As they get more and more crazy liberal, it makes the situation worse in more and more cities.
Even my stepfather, this is how current I'm talking, who's since passed away. He was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
If he saw where the Democrat Party is today, he would be appalled.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the Democrat Party anymore.
No, it's not. It's gone so far, so far.
Congratulations, universe. I miss Bill Clinton. I mean, God, you win.
Did you just say bring back Bill Clinton? Did you just say that?
No.
Barack Obama,
saying,
too?
No. That was the major beginning of the decline.
It is just, you want to watch this discussion, because not only are Louis and Stephen, you got Joe Piscopo, Mike Gallagher, lots of others, you know, big time.
This is tomorrow night.
Conservative folks will be discussing, the mayor's race in New York and the implications that has for the nation.
Yeah.
It's big in New York, obviously, but it's going to trickle down. What happens there could happen in other big cities. It's 6 to 8 o'clock.
It's going to have to get so bad that people are going to have to go, okay, this maybe wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. I'm thinking if the New York guy, I can't even say his name, Mamdani, if he gets elected and he starts opening government-run grocery stores, good luck buying your groceries.
Well, there already are some that have no food in them.
Right. Good luck finding the stuff you need.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about a run on toilet paper. Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Prize Fest information coming up after the news, top of the hour.
And Denny Duron, Pastor Denny Duron, joining us at about 8:35 this morning, talking about the fire. We got him to talk about
everything. At Shreveport Country Club.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty in studio with, I don't even know what to call you, sir. Gregory Kallenberg, the creator, the grand poobah.
King.
Started with Film Prize.
Mm-hmm.
It started with Film Prize. Get real close to that mic.
Yes, here we go.
But it has grown. This is a, 4 or 5 day event now.
Yes, it is.
Food and comedy and music and film. This is just an amazing, amazing venture that you have brought to the Arklatex.
And Prize Fest is a thing. as the kids say.
Yeah. Big time.
My wife even told you Saturday night. She pulled Gregory aside. We saw him at the Revel. And she says, I just want to thank you. Thank you for doing this. You don't have to.
I will tell you that anyone who thanks me for having a party that is soaked in tequila and invites people from all over the country to dance around with me around a fire, I mean, I'll take that thanks all day long. I mean, that thanks. And let me say this. You kind of started in on it, and it just didn't sound wrong when you said Sir Kallenberg. So maybe that's...
If
I can be knighted by you guys, that would be...
That's good. There we go.
I'll take
it. I would love to be knighted.
You're starting with food prize on the 15th. It's a week from Wednesday. How'd you get Tristan Epps from, Top Chef, for crying out loud?
So Tristan Epps is coming in from Food Prize, Bravo's Top Chef champion. Here's the interesting thing about Tristan Epps. He's been coming in for 8 years. I always tell people that people who bag on Shreveport, people who bag on Bossier, people who bag on our area, I urge you to come down to Prize Fest and talk to the people who come in for Prize Fest because they love our city, they love our people. Tristan Epps is one of them. I mean, when you meet Tristan, or if you haven't met him before, I mean, Tristan will tell you how cool your city is. And he comes here, he's not even coming here for Food Prize, he's bringing in all the other Top Chef competitors, which is... that's a gift to us, but it's a gift to the city. It's a pretty incredible thing.
Wow. Yes. And he's doing a barbecue?
Yes. So on the 15th, the Top Chef competitors will be paired with the local chefs, which helps the local chefs and our culinary culture rise. And then on the 17th of October, Tristan Epps and the Top Chefs will again be teaming up with local chefs for the Celebrity Chef Barbecue. It's the first year we've ever done it. There's still some tickets available at prizefest.com. And again, you get to meet the Top Chefs. You get to see what they're all about. You get to taste some amazing food. We get to be together as a community, which is the important part.
And will that be at the Garage?
Hopefully not. The Garage is our rain plan, but it will be in the middle of the street in front of Art Space.
Oh, okay.
Right in what downtown. We call Prize Island, because we have a name for everything,
yes,
right?
Yes.
One day, the city will allow me to bring in sand. At this point, it's just a vision that we have at the Prize office. But Prize Island, which, by the way, Prize Island is free programming for everybody except for that barbecue that you have to pay for. But, so the barbecue is going to be amazing. Tristan Epps coming in is amazing. It's just going to be an incredible time on the Food Prize.
16th on the Thursday, next Thursday, is Comedy Fest, right?
That was hilarious. That was good. You should come and host. Do that again.
On the 16th on Thursday is Comedy Fest.
There we go.
You've got some big... These are not just local yuhas.
No, I have all respect for anyone who tries their hand at comedy. I've learned over the years how difficult it is. And what we've done with Comedy Prize is we have enlisted people like Charlie Sotelo and Michael Cox, who Michael Cox books for Jimmy Fallon, to curate the group of comedians that come in. And they come in from all over the country. So people like Catherine Blanford are coming in for Comedy Prize. People like Reggie Conquest are coming in. I think we still have a few tickets for the 7 o'clock and the 9 o'clock. We still have a few tickets for. But it is 8 comedians. Peter Ravello's coming in. Peter Ravello just won Funniest Guy. I don't know if you've heard of this place, New York City. He's the funniest guy in New York.
Wow.
He's coming in to be part
That's
of Comedy
quite
Prize.
The honor.
I'm telling you. Did I do okay on that one? That's a little bit. I'm working on my bits for Comedy Prize. So it's going to be an incredible time. And again, world-class film, music, comedy, food, all here in Prizeport, Louisiana. And yes, we're so cool. We do rename the city the week of Prize Fest.
Oh, can you stay
Prizeport.
With us? I want to talk about the films.
I want to.
And what we're going to see with all the short films.
Oh, my God. You don't have to ask me twice.
Okay, cool.
Because there's so much going on.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just amazing. Gregory Kallenberg in studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Gregory Kallenberg in studio, Mike and McCarty. Coming up next week, middle of next week, 5-day event now.
Oh,
this Prize is so Fest nice. In Shreveport. Starts with Food Prize on the 15th, Comedy Prize on the 16th, And then how it all got started, film starts on the 17th. Mm-hmm. That's Friday.
Yes.
So Friday and Saturday, film and music.
Yeah, do your films during the day and come rock with us at night. That's the way it's going to work.
We will be doing that.
100%.
We love it.
Film prizes, four different locations? Is that accurate?
Four different locations. We're super proud of all of the theaters that we set up in Shreveport. Of course, the Robinson Art Station, where the Big Dog is, and then Sylvester Marshall's The Vine. And then we're super proud to bring back the Bipsy Theater. So you can see your films at the Bossier Parish Community College. Great partners. There's also, you know, with Bossier Parish Community College, not to complicate this thing, but there's something called the Golden Lens, okay, which is a photography competition that's going on right now. You can take pictures and win money and prizes. You can just go on to prizefest.com and check that out too.
Photography. There's another.
Wow.
I can
leave
see
no
that.
Box unchecked.
Yeah.
Man.
Leave no box unchecked.
Okay, yeah. Tell us about the films this year. What are some of the ones we're going to see that you're like, man, these are incredible?
And for those that don't understand, you get submissions from all over.
All over the country. All over the country.
And
I mean,
you have to whittle it down to 20.
We have to whittle it down to 20. You know, a film prize is one of those incredible things that in the year 2025 is keeping indie film alive, and we're doing it right here in Shreveport, Louisiana. The rule with film prize is you have to come to the state of Louisiana to shoot your film. If you shoot your film in Shreveport or Bossier, you win $50,000. If you win it and you're from New Orleans, you win $25,000. So okay. I think that even the people in New Orleans, and God bless them, I'm sure they're listening to this show right now, they figured out the math, and we had New Orleans filmmakers, God forbid, coming to Shreveport and Bossier and shooting their films. Mm-hmm. And again, what is interesting about Film Prize is Film Prize catalyzes the production of more minute-for-minute content than the entire state of Louisiana. So we're doing more film work through Film Prize and anywhere. But the fun is at Film Prize, at Prize Fest, which is 20 shorts. You get to go. You get to see all 20. It takes about 2 hours for each slate. So it's like seeing two-hour movies. You vote. You go to the filmmakers' parties. You meet the filmmakers. When you vote, you actually not only get to choose somebody who's either going to win $50,000 or $25,000 cash, which is the world's largest cash prize for a short film, but this year, the filmmaker who wins will also be qualified for an Academy Award.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
That is so
cool. In the short category.
In the shorts category.
How did you make that happen?
I will tell you that a former Shreveport person, a good friend of mine, and I think you know him also, Mike, Brandon Oldenburg, and I had a meeting in Austin at South by Southwest about a year ago, and we formed this partnership with, of all people, the Fort Worth Film Commission, and they are going to...
Who is an Oscar winner, by the way?
Brandon is an Oscar winner. Yep. But here, the cool thing is about Film Prize is that Film Prize is about connection. And really, the audience getting to choose perhaps the Oscar winner is something that's never happened before in history. So coming down, seeing the films, meeting the filmmakers, showing up and showing out is what Film Prize is all about.
And these movies, they range from, you know, horror movies to heart sentimental types, biographies. I mean, there's all kinds.
I'm going to let you do the voiceovers for our commercials.
No.
But you're right.
I'm looking at the slate. It's so wide.
It is. This is probably the widest ranging genre we've ever had. Probably the highest quality across the board we've ever seen, too. We have a lot of comedy. We have horror. We have romantic comedies. I mean, it's all there. And I think that to come down and be a part of it and really to kind of see this thing work. And, you know, again, this is or has become it's one of the nation's most highly regarded film festivals. And just check out Movie Maker Magazine if you don't believe me. And the fact is that to come down to be a part of it and really to, again, you know, be loud and proud, not only about the films, but about our city is what it's all about. I mean, you know, Film Prize is about putting our community into the light, showing off what we got, showing off our city. And that's really what I would like everyone to be able to do.
Somebody who's never been, they can go to your website, prizefest.com. They can buy their tickets, or there's still some VIP tickets available to some of these events.
There are still a few VIP tickets for music. I believe there are a few for film, too. Yes.
Okay. They want to get their ticket online. They can pick the site where they want to go see the films, correct?
Yes.
And then they just go on that day to see the films. They're different time slots you can pick, right?
Yeah, you can check it all out at prizefest.com. I mean, again, we always urge people, do your films during the day, do your music at night. You know, music's going to be amazing this year. People who are stepping right off the stage of ACL Fest are coming to Music Prize. I mean, alongside people who just play Jazz Fest, people like Lynn Drury. It's going to be a time. It's going to just be an incredibly epic time. This could be the best Prize Fest ever.
Now, you mentioned Bossier Parish Community College and, of course, Robinson Film Center. Where, what are some of the other locations that people can see the film?
Well, you know, you can see the films at Art Station. I mean, again, you know, there are ways to stay out of the crowd, right? So, you know, Robinson, of course, is going to be packed, as it always is, and as it should be. Right across from the Robinson is a theater called The Vine, which is owned by Sylvester Marshall. Social Circle does amazing things. And then down the street at Art Station, where the Big Dog is I would like to say that, the Big Dog.
It was the former Shreveport Fire Department Central Station.
It was Central Station. And very good, Mike. A little history for you there, ladies and gentlemen. And you can see your films there. And then you can also see them in Bossier. I mean, again, the idea is really to grow this geography, make Louisiana, North Louisiana shine.
Okay, Gregory Kallenberg, the king of Prize Fest. Sir Gregory Kallenberg, let's go back 12, 13 years now, I believe.
It's our 14th year.
This is your 14th.
But who's counting?
How did this idea pop in your crazy brain, and how did it manifest and grow so big?
You know, I will tell you that the idea came out. I'm a filmmaker by trade, and I was asked by the Tourism Bureau to help start the Shreveport International Film Festival, and I immediately told him it was a terrible idea. If you want to lose all your friends in the room at the same time, tell them the idea they've been working on for 2 years is a terrible idea. So I literally went and I went to my thinking place, which is by a fire with a bottle of tequila, and came out with a shoot a short, win $50,000 cash. And I'll tell you, Aaron, at the time, I had no idea where I'd come up with the $50,000.
So, yeah.
So proudly, I took the money out of my kids' college fund.
He says that proudly.
Nothing like a father with good intentions. And I mean, it was put back, but you know, that's kind of how it started. But I will say this: that's super interesting, is I've always likened Prize Fest, Film Prize, Music Prize, Food Prize, Comedy Prize is like a soup stone. Like it's a stone in the middle of a pot that really allowed for our community to show up and show out, to dance around a fire with us and be together under one tent. And when you come down to Prize Fest, you really see everyone down there. You get to see every
Which is part of the fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's incredible. I mean, you know, it's the rich and the poor, the old and the young, black, white, Asian, Latino. I mean, it is something that I had to tell you, I'm a crier. I'm just going to say that ahead of time. And, you know, I've sat at the back of these theaters and wept because seeing a packed theater with people from Shreveport, Louisiana, all together in one place cheering for something is something that is an anomaly these days. And it's something that we all need to take advantage of.
Absolutely. And it's more than, like you just said, it's more than just going to watch the films. The filmmakers set up tents outside, and you get to meet the filmmakers and a lot of the actors, and you see friends, and you get to share. It's just it's a whole carnival festival experience down Texas Street. That whole Saturday is just there's nothing like it.
Thank you for coming in.
I appreciate
You're
it.
So amazing.
It's so,
so amazing.
Cool. It's so cool. Definitely. It's so cool being here. Hey, viva la you guys.
Yeah.
Viva la Prize Fest.
Yes. Viva la Prize Fest. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you, guys.
Pastor Denny Duron spoke with us earlier this morning about the fire at Shreveport Country Club. Hear what he's got to say right after the local news. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Pastor Denny Duron in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. First of all, we need to talk about, obviously, the fire over the weekend, Shreveport Country Club. Now, you're the owner. A lot of people might not even realize you purchased that property.
Actually, the property was given to me.
Okay.
Okay.
The there was an LLC that had the property, a group of guys that had been associated with the country club. And they put together a plan where it was going to be better for them financially to give it than to sell it for what it was appraised for. Mm-hmm. And so they gave my 501c3. And I don't really own it. It's my 501c3, my ministry organization. We have had a ministry organization that has been separate from the church since 1970. I actually have had this organization. And so much of what we've done in the city, including Eagle Creek Recovery Center and Evangel Christian Academy, are under Winter Circle International. And so that property was me. And from the moment I got it, I was looking forward to the day when perhaps I could sell it and it would help us with the financial burden of a lot of things that we're doing that are really nonprofit in the strictest sense. Mm-hmm. They make no money. And so that's, you know, that's the story of Shreveport Country Club. And it's so sad
to bring it back to life. Right. I mean, when you got it, you were going to make it keep memberships. And
well, it was already a great place. They had done a good job. The LLC that owned this had done a fabulous job of keeping it alive. And so I was trying to maintain it. We borrowed money and invested a lot of money, you know, mm-hmm. well over $1 million into it throughout about 9 years that we operated it, new greens, that kind of thing that we did while we were there. Yeah. But I felt like it was my mission to open it to the whole community, mm-hmm. to make this a club of the neighborhood, and where people on this side of town could all join, could all come and eat on Sunday, could be a part. And looking back, if I have any satisfaction in what has happened with the club, it's that. We accomplished that for those years, and it became a place where the culture and the community of the Shreveport Country Club became different, but just as vital and just as wonderful in a different way.
Got to take a quick break, then we're going to talk about the fire when we come back.
Okay.
Cool.
Great. Right. Pastor Denny Duran in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Pastor Denny Duran in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Pastor, your organization owned the Shreveport Country Club, which right. burned over the weekend. Let's address what these keyboard warriors are saying. Well, it was the insurance money.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and what do you say to those?
There was no insurance.
Okay.
Well, that's there you go.
This is what you call a total loss, folks.
I hate that for you.
Well, you know, it's sad. I'm happy that nobody was hurt. And I'm happy that nobody's property was damaged. We carried liability, but nothing to cover the building or the contents of the building.
So we know Shreveport Fire Department is
And the
is
reason
working.
We didn't is because you couldn't get it. I mean, you could not. They would not insure and won't insure a building like that. So.
You've had a problem with vagrants. You and I spoke on the phone. Yeah. This has been an ongoing problem since you shut it in 2016.
Right, right. And we have the police who've done a great job, man. Those guys, I can't say enough about the Shreveport Police Department. But they would go out and we arrested a guy. They arrested a guy recently who was stealing copper wire out of the club. They broke windows, whoever they are, broke windows. And so when we found that had happened, then about 3 weeks ago, we put up plyboard in the back. And, you know, I have no idea how the fire started, but the Shreveport Fire Department is on it, and they are very, very good. So
cameras?
No cameras, no security system. You know, private property and keep out signs and mm-hmm. all of that. But we have a neighbor who said that he saw young men on four-wheelers just before you know, the fire broke out. Mm. And so I'm sure he'll share that with the investigators as well. But it's just a sad deal, you know. I mean, it,
now, I had heard reports about natural gas or wells on the property. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that there are going to be more wells drilled, you know, in that area. Right down the street from the club, across from my house, in fact, on the lake, you know, they have one, and then you come up a little further, and they have, and so, you know, it's that drill, baby, drill.
Are you leasing it to the oil companies? Are you leasing?
I haven't signed anything at this point. I sure hope I can. I mean, I do optimization.
Absolutely.
You know, we're behind hundreds of thousands of dollars on just on that property, and I'd love to be able to pay the people back I owe, and also do some things for the nonprofit ventures that we have in the city, because mm-hmm. we are not making money on anything we're doing. It's all investment in people's lives, which is the way I want it. But it's so great when you get a windfall at times and something or somebody comes forward and says, you know, we're going to help you with this.
The rehabilitation center that you operate, fantastic.
And we are right now desperate need of money to be able to just bring renewal and refreshing to that ministry. And mm-hmm. we're not going to let it go, because it has been too vital. Over 1,000 men conservatively have come through that rehab center.
So, Pastor Denny Duron, let me ask you this with regard to the Shreveport Country Club fire. What now? There's a lot of vacant buildings, businesses, houses across the city that burn, and they're just left to sit.
Yeah.
Can you pledge today that you're going to clean that property up and get all that?
Well, I can tell you we're certainly not going to leave it like it is. And, you know, it may take us a while, and people are going to have to be patient. Like I said, we're not a moneyed organization, but, you know, we are definitely going to make sure that, you know, that's not a burned-out shell that's just an eyesore there for those people that are in that neighborhood. I care very much for the people of that neighborhood, and even when we were on the verge of actually selling the property, we were selling it to a treatment center that was going to keep everything neat and tidy. Myself at a loss because I wasn't able to really communicate to the residents, though I tried, mm-hmm. that, you know, this was the best step forward because of I knew who these people were, and the country club was going to just taken care of and in the same kind of manner that it had been, because these were people that had money. And, you know, it was voted down in city council, and I hated that day. Now, let me tell you, it was close. It was like by a vote, mm-hmm. you know, and there were some people that really stood with us and felt like the best thing to do. But we haven't had an opportunity since then to really sell this place and to get into the hands of some people that are going to do good things.
There was some talk about a mixed-use development.
I have talked.
That fell through?
Yeah, right. Well, as you know, I think it's still on the back burner. I just talked to representatives from their group recently. And so there are a couple of groups that are talking about coming in and doing something that I feel would be a credit to that community. But, you know, the residents are going to have to sign off on it because they have beautiful homes there. And they're going to have to sign off on, you know, whatever's done.
So now what kind of condition is the golf course in now?
No. Nothing's been maintained. It's Jurassic Park.
Okay.
I mean, there's every kind of plant.
And, well, it's been since 2016.
Yeah. So. And all the fertilizer that was poured on there for so many years, every single week, you know, you can imagine how fertile that ground was, and it's just, you know, it's all grown up.
Sure.
But I've had no less than four individuals talk to me briefly about coming and, you know, doing another golf course there. So I don't know what is going to happen there. I just pray that very, very soon somebody steps forward and says that, you know, they're going to bring a renewal to that area.
Real quick before we let you go, the history of that building. So many of us have been to weddings and events.
My own children, you know, their wedding celebrations were there. And here's the cool thing is that when I had it, there were people in that neighborhood who had celebrations there, mm-hmm. who were able to have weddings there. They, you know, there are a lot of ceremonies that were performed there during that time. It has been throughout the years a grand and a glorious place, mm-hmm. and it was very sad when I watched on my phone what was happening in real time there. It's a very, very sad.
You were out of town. For yes. folks to say, why didn't you show up? You were out of town.
I was in Missouri.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would have been right there. Everybody that was close to me in my organization was there, the property, and they were, of course, sending me the shots, and just a sad, sad thing.
Mm. Well, thank you for coming in and telling us everything.
And my absolute joy to be here. You guys do such a great job. I have a little app on my phone, so when I'm out of town, I can still listen to you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Denny Duron. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Seven FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
You know, I was looking at something today with regard to the National Guard. I think a federal judge has ruled the president doesn't have the authority to send National Guard troops to Portland. I don't think this ruling covers other states like the Louisiana plan. I'm curious about that, though. I'll be curious if that would spread to
other states.
Well, if
that were true, I would think it would apply to all other states, wouldn't it? I mean, what would be different from Portland than others?
Because the city of Portland says no, we object.
Right.
We don't want it. And so if the locality says they don't want it, he can't overthrow the locality's ruling. You know what I mean? Their wishes.
I wish I could talk to President Trump. If you're listening, sir, don't fight him. Let him have it.
Yeah.
Turn it over to him. Mm-hmm. Just let them wallow in their depravity.
And let it suffer.
Turn
as a
them over to their sin.
Mm-hmm. The plan here, it looks like the president probably this week will be approving the request to send National Guard troops to Shreveport, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge. And I heard Sid Edwards, the mayor president in Baton Rouge, he said he welcomes them. But he said something kind of like Mayor Arsenault said. He said, look, we want to use them for special events like Mardi Gras. He says, we'd like to use them for picking up trash and blight.
Right.
And that's what our mayor said. He said, I would like to kind of integrate them into our block-by-block initiative and work on blight.
To free up our police officers to be able to police.
Absolutely. I do know that we were planning to have Chief Smith joining us today. But I got a text last night that said he was having a meeting with the mayor today. They're obviously going to be talking about the National Guard plan, how we're going to utilize them, what's our plan going to be. And I'm not sure who all was in on that meeting. I'm not sure if the sheriff and the DA or who else was going to be involved. I know the chief and the mayor were going to talk about how should we utilize them. What would you? And I know the mayor wants to get the info from the chief. How would you best suggest using them?
And see, and I like that because New Orleans, absolutely mm-hmm. needed.
Yes.
Baton Rouge, I'm not real sure about. Sounds like probably they mm-hmm. need them, but they certainly need them more than Shreveport does.
You bet. Absolutely.
So, but I'm glad our administration is not fighting them on it.
Right. Exactly.
Going, okay, if this is going to happen, how can we best use them? Mm-hmm. And I love that about Mardi Gras and other special events.
You bet. Absolutely. I mean, Rockets Over the Red, all the things we do around Christmas time, they could be helpful at all those events that mm-hmm. we have, all the festivals we have. I mean, if they're here in time for the state fair, goodness, would it be nice to have National Guard troops help patrol the state fair?
Yes.
That would be huge.
That would be huge.
That would be a big deal. And we wouldn't have to spend the money on all that security that they have to spend. But again, like D.A. Stewart told us, you also have to be careful because, you know, if they don't have arrest power or if they do, we need to make cases, you know, and I have to be able to find these National Guard guys when it's time to make cases. So you have to keep all that in mind. But I think the mayor is going to have a plan. He's working with the chief, I think, to put together a plan on how they can best use them. And we have the mayor this week, don't we?
We do. Ask the mayor. Coming up on Wednesday, 7 o'clock hour, we basically open the lines, not particularly the phone lines, but on the app. You can shoot us a question, and if you want to go ahead and get it in.
Yes.
If you want to get your question in for the mayor, that's this week.
You bet.
And we'll get it on the list because that hour goes fast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And tomorrow we're going to have Education Superintendent Cade Brumley and Shreveport Fire Chief Clarence Reese Jr. They're going to be joining us tomorrow. Clarence Reese will be talking about the fire. And
give us an update on the Shreveport Country Club fire.
Tragic loss in his department, too, one of his firefighters. So he'll give us an update on all of that.
That's coming up to big day tomorrow. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.